Bet on Bears fans, another week of the Chicago Bears podcast is here. And as always, we're starting the week off with Lance Briggs in the building. And he's got a little smile on his face. Arizona doing a little work out there, ain't they?
Listen, you know, both men's and women's made the tournament. Unfortunately, women's got knocked out against Syracuse, but the men are in the Sweet 16. And I like our positioning. I'm happy with it. I see Illinois out there too, so okay. I know you're happy.
It was funny because I don't talk about Illinois a ton, except with my friend group. I didn't go to Illinois. I don't cover Illinois like that. But when I was we went to Carmen and Cap did the radio show from one of the bars in Elmhurst. The name is escaping me right now, but it was a great time. And I'm sitting there losing my mind to Illinois in the first round of the tournament in a game where I kind of knew we were going to win, but it was a little closer than I wanted it to be. And Carm looked at me and he was like, "I didn't know you were this big of an Illinois fan." I was like, "It's the only team in my life that I have ever legitimately shed a tear for." It's the only team that I've watched. The 2005 Darren Williams, you know, he got money, he became Deron. He was Darren Williams at Illinois. Darren Williams, D. Brown, Luther Head, like, dog, he was. I couldn't believe we lost that game. And the refs was on our. Sorry, I had
to. Let's not even start on refs because we got cheated in the Final Four against you guys in Illinois. All right, in Chicago. So I'm not
can
even.
Can we say that?
Right. There was, can we was say that, though? It was controversial. To say the least, it was controversial. You know?
Oh, the controversy. Hey, y'all can tell we're hyped up about the Sweet 16 coming up. Both our teams in it. But also got to talk about a lot of the things that Ryan Poles had to say today. He talked about the difficulty of trading Justin Fields, talked about what he's hearing about Caleb Williams. Maybe we could finally put some of the rumors that we're seeing all over Twitter to rest on how this guy's like the devil in a quarterback's clothing, right? Like he seems like he's all right. And also got to look at a little bit of the Keenan Allen trade. All that more in today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Let's jump into this, Lance. Let's talk about, we ended up breaking down Justin Fields being traded to Pittsburgh, why that ended up happening, all the different things that end up going into that. But you hadn't really gotten to hear from Ryan Poles on kind of what he went through that process of making this decision. And I thought it was interesting, some of the comments that he had today. Let's listen in and then we can break them down.
Like having that conversation with my own son was hard. His jersey's up in his room. So it kind of puts that into perspective of how difficult those moves are. But really felt like that was best for our organization and best for Justin. I said that at the combine, I want to do right by him. We did that. We had a really good conversation. I actually went to Fluce's house and we had that conversation together with him over the phone. And again, one of the harder things we had to do, but I thought it was necessary for us heading in the right direction.
One of the harder things he's had to do, but he thought that it was necessary for the Bears moving in the right direction. I don't want to go through the whole, what if Justin stayed here? What if he didn't? No. Is he this? Is he that? Because he's no longer a member of the Chicago Bears. The trade is done. But do you like when you hear from your GM that he's willing to make the tough decisions to move the franchise in the right direction? Because a lot of times we have made the emotional decision. We have made the heart decision versus making the, listen, financially, long-term, whatever it is, this is what's going to make this team better 5 years down the road. And I think that's what you see from championship teams, right? The Chiefs didn't want to get rid of Tyreek Hill, who's now the best wide receiver in the NFL, but they also didn't want to pay him that money. So you end up moving on from him, and I think two Super Bowls later, you go, maybe not the worst decision we could have made.
Well, they weren't going to move on from Patrick Mahomes, and that is their linchpin. You know, that's the linchpin. They know that with Patrick Mahomes, you can insert, you know, said receiver, insert said tight end, and you're going to have a fighting chance to go back to the Super Bowl again. So, you know, when you weigh the options there, it's heavily favored in the direction of the franchise quarterback, you know? And that's really what everybody's chasing. You know, everybody is chasing the franchise quarterback, and unfortunately, you know, polls had concluded that this isn't the Patrick Mahomes for the Chicago Bears. And I believe that I can get him, you know, through the draft. So that's what I got out of, you know, the tough decisions and the hard decisions. And it is a hard decision, and it's his responsibility. So, you know, I've trusted his decisions, whether I like them or I don't. You know, I hesitate to say the word sound, but it to me, there are sound choices, whether they pan out or they don't. There is some sense to what he's doing.
Yeah, and I think that's right. To me, he even goes on to talk about, right, it comes down to the timeline of getting Justin Fields to the point where you got to get him to, right? Because with a rookie QB coming in, you get the opportunity to say, listen, you get Keenan Allen, you get DJ Moore. We probably re-signed Keenan Allen. We add some more weaponry around you as well. You got Gerald Everett, Swift, Komet, all of that. We're probably going to draft some offensive linemen for you to help you out as well. And I don't have to pay most of you guys for a while here, right? Keenan Allen's really the next guy whose contract you have to figure out because you traded him on a contract year. But outside of that, DJ Moore's under contract for a few more years here, right? Mm-hmm. Met just got signed. Gerald Everett is a quick piece that if he works out, you keep him around. If he doesn't, he doesn't. DeAndre Swift's here for a couple years. Financially, it opens things up for you to make long-term decisions versus just, you don't figure it out this year, we got to pay you $25 million. You got to figure it out this year. I think that it's, right, it leans more towards, while this is a difficult decision to move on from a player that he talked about, right, loves, son has his jersey in his room, that he thinks made strides at the end of the year.
That's a setup. That's buttering up the media. You know what I mean? Listen, love the guy. He got his jersey up in my room. You know, I hated having to get rid of him. Have his jersey up in my room. All right.
does Trestman have your jersey up in his office if he needs to get back in touch?
Mm-mm. Nope.
If he does, he had to buy it, right?
He had to special order that thing, man.
And I do think that there was a liking of Justin Fields, and I do believe that they believe he made some strides at the end of the year, but right, like, it does come down to the long term of this team. I have more mobility financially if I go with this young guy, who is coming into the best situation a quarterback may have ever come into in Chicago.
Well, you know, what are your strengths? What are the strengths of your coaching staff? What's your coaching staff saying about this guy versus that guy, you know, and who you believe gives you the best chance to win? Because it doesn't matter if you like him, you dislike him, if it's about long-term money, short money, you have to have the guy that's going to help you win.
Yeah.
All right, because in the end, that's the play. You know, if he kept Fields here, and Fields had a successful year, you know, put up crazy numbers this year.
About the 25 million.
You don't worry about that. They're, you know, well, Chicago's still going to be like, you're paying him too much. You know, and then he goes out and balls. You're like, all right, he did win us a Super Bowl, so it's legitimate now. You know what I mean? Market value. You know, but if it were to work out, you know what I mean? I think there's just such a shorter window. But if it works out, you know, you're a genius. If it doesn't, you're fired. You know, like, who's next? You know, so, and it's that happens too often here in Chicago. So I think sometimes you go with the road, you know, probably more traveled in this situation rather than the one less traveled.
I do love the fact, though, right, you bring that up. He's not operating like, if I make the wrong decision here, I'm fired. I do love that about this, because I feel like, right, drafting Justin Fields was, if I don't get the quarterback position right, I'm fired, by Ryan Pace. Guess what? You're fired. Yeah, I mean, you got fired anyway. Not playing Justin Fields was, if we don't win games, I'm fired, by Matt Nagy. Right? Like, I feel like so often we've operated back against the wall. Versus now, it feels like, listen, whether we like the decision to trade Justin or not, there's some wiggle room here in a lot of different directions for you to go. Even the fact that, right, he's talking about he's going and just doing his due diligence in all of these areas. He's going to be at the Jaden Daniels LSU Pro Day. Won't be at the Drake May Pro Day. He talked about that. But that Drake May, that the Bears will be represented. Kerry Joseph will be there. The coach who's probably going to be working with this guy tomorrow. You're not doing another. You're not doing another UNC 10.
No, no.
He
said, "Yeah, I won't be at this one." Is a sign. All right, but we'll have a representative there. And I said, "Come on, buddy."
Hey, listen, I'll take what I can get, Lance, because the worst thing in the world to me is that we had a GM that went full Sith Lord on us, right? He's like, you know, I get this Trubisky guy pulled up in a Toyota Corolla, and nobody noticed me. Nobody recognized. Well, hey, but just some dude in the stands. Aren't you Ryan Pace? No, here's $40. Get away from me.
Man, I feel like, I, you know, in situations like that, I feel like those are one of the main reasons why a guy like myself and Alex Brown are never in those war rooms or never in talks, or Olin Krupps, never in talks to be in those type of evaluation positions. Because when we get into a situation where, let's say it's Ryan Pace, he's like, hey, guys, really like this guy, Mitchell Trubisky. You know, he's going to be met with three guys in the room that are going to say, hell no. No, he's not worth that. He's not worth this. He certainly as hell is not worth the haul that you're willing to give up for this kid. I'm like, let's break this thing down. You're doing this based off of what potential? You know, we have to hit the home run here.
The Sun Bowl.
Yeah, man.
You're doing it based off of the Sun Bowl.
So you're gonna get a lot less pushback if you don't have guys like us in that room that are gonna tell you straight up you're wrong with this one.
And that's what I love, right? Ryan Poles has different opinions in the building. It just feels like the Bears are actually finally going about doing this the way that most teams in the NFL did it, right? We talked about, me and my guy, Kid, were talking about it, and I was like, when did you know Ryan Poles seemed like he was different? It was like when he hired an assistant GM. Like, nobody had ever done that in Chicago before. It was like, hey, I might need some help, dog. Like, this seems like a big job. I mean, I don't want it to just be my voice lording over everything.
Well, yeah, then, you know, you mix an ex-football player with Boston College, too. You know what I mean? It's, you got an O-lineman. You know what I mean? Like, low linemen, they're not winning any beauty contests. You know what I mean? Like they grunt and they grind and they're the unsung heroes a lot of the times. A lot of times we see the receivers, the running backs, everybody doing their dance. You know, and it's the linemen that get them there. So there's some humble pie. I think humble pie beginnings there, mixed with smarts.
Oh yeah, gotta love it. Love what Ryan Poles is doing. Love how he's going about this, and love that I personally love that he's willing to make tough decisions that all of us feel are some tough decisions, because I think that's how you do end up building long-term championship teams and not just fun teams that end up, you know, lasting for a few years and then you go, all right, what the heck happened? Like we were in the Super Bowl, we were holding up the trophy, and now we haven't seen the playoffs in 3 years. Like, what's going on there?
Well, the unfortunate thing about that is that, you know, he's, you know, as good a job as we are watching him, you know, perform right now, it's all on paper. Like, it's right now you're creating it. You're creating paper champions, man. Yep. And I hate to say that, but they have to go out and they have to still perform.
You know, that's facts.
The thing
is, right, this is heavily weighed on. Listen, you can go get Caleb. You can have all these pieces. You can make all this stuff happen. The guy that puts the chess pieces in place is Shane Waldron. Was that the right hire? Because there was a lot of names out there that we looked at and we were like, I'd go with him over him. But Waldron was the development guy. He was the guy that has developed and helped multiple quarterbacks along to get to the point where you looked at, I mean, listen, Geno Smith was—he was bad. Like, he was a bad quarterback in New York, and he was not a bad quarterback at all out in Seattle after working with Waldron. So,
all quarterbacks are bad in New York right now. You know what I mean? Like, it's bad out there, man.
May not take a QB. Like, that's the funniest part about this. I keep seeing these mocks, and it's like running back, wide receiver, offensive lineman. I'm like, who's throwing the football? I can deal with offensive linemen, but they got nobody to throw the football.
I feel worse for the defensive players, man, because their defense can they kick ass, but It's like, and they're talking about drafting what? What? Oh, another tough year for us defense, man. You only last so long.
Yeah. How do you feel, right, when you look at the defensive side of the ball in all of this? Because I feel like we focus very much on the offense, but Poles did make some interesting additions to the defense. I think he's still going to make some in the draft as well.
Tim.
How does the defense help a young quarterback to develop? Because to me, the one thing that I said, the only thing Ryan Pace ever did right for Mitch Trubisky was he went and got Khalil Mack. Because that allowed him to start off on the 40 more times than not.
No, the best thing he did with Mitchell Trubisky is when he got rid of him. Okay, when it was time to move on.
For his successes, I didn't.
No, right. Yeah, well, for his, he moved out to Pittsburgh and found the same type of success that he had here.
hey man, listen, he did love throwing into triple coverage a lot. I'm not gonna lie to you. It was impressive. Like
he did, he went to Pittsburgh and did more of the same. Yep, he went there and did more of the same, man. You know, it's not a knock on his character. We're just talking football here.
Football.
We're talking football. But
how can this Bears defense help whatever this young quarterback is coming in to get off to an easier start to his career?
More opportunities. You know, defense can get the ball back for you. Defense can win games for you. But defense can certainly put you in, you know, but defense can put you in scoring position. Special teams can put you in scoring position. So, you know, the more opportunities that the new quarterback will have in this offense, the more opportunities he'll have to grow, to see different looks and different things and to mature, you know, maybe mature faster or show us how great or ungrate he is or can be. You know, we're looking now that you're bringing in a new guy, you're looking for, you know, obviously you want to have a fast start, but you want to look for growth. You want to look for the potential of where this is going to lead to, you know, and we, as much as we want to win this year, we do need to win. We certainly need to compete because there's talent there. There's going to be some times where you're going to have to say, okay, well, he's new. You know what I mean? He's new. Yep. He's young. That's just a rookie mistake right there, man. He's going to get better from that, you know. So there's some things here that are going to come into place with having a new quarterback that's coming in, but your defense can give them as many opportunities as possible by getting the ball back.
Yeah, I think that is kind of the best thing that he has going for him. It's not just the offensive weapons. There is Montez Sweat on the other side. There is, right, to pressure the quarterback. You've got hopefully Javon Dexter taking a step in Pickens and Big Bill in the middle. And maybe we see a resurgence of DeMarcus Walker. Go get somebody for that other edge. That's all I'm saying. But maybe we see a resurgence of DeMarcus Walker. But you got DBs out the wazoo. And the one DB that you had this year is Kevin Byard, who's got 28 interceptions and is an absolute ball hawk back there and has been the pinnacle of health, which is something, no disrespect to Eddie, that we haven't had opposite Jaquan Brisker for his career. So that may, you know, be a big help as well. Let's get to our road to the draft brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places, because we're talking about the young quarterback here. And I think the one part to me that is interesting is the narratives that come out around draft time, Lance. It seems that we can't build players up. The only way that we can talk about players is to talk about how they cry to their mothers, and that means that they are terrible football players and have no skill, that they paint their fingernails, that their teammates all hate them, and there's no success for this guy's career coming in the future.
And they said that about players? Did they say that about players?
Oh, man, listen. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a quarterback that the Bears may be selecting that basically on Twitter seems like his teammates think he's the devil, and yet I've been looking. I don't know if you watched the pro day at all. I was like, they seem to like him. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's me. They really seem to like this guy. And then I looked at the draft. I was like, well, they seem to like him still. I don't know. We got a chance to hear from Ryan Poles on his teammates and his coaches and how they feel about Caleb on the team. Let's hear what he had to say and then get the reaction.
Now, we look for guys that can bring others around. So the cool thing, you know, there's pros and cons in this NIL setup. But the cool thing is you do have some resources to, you know, take your line out to dinner. You see the Christmas gifts that the NFL guys do. So really bringing those guys together, spending time, creating that bond is really what you're looking for in that position. And he's done that.
Seems like everybody likes this guy, Lance. If they don't, they are doing the greatest job of masking it that I've ever seen in my life. You got a skeptical look on your face, Lance. Is this just draft fodder? Or do you think Caleb's probably the guy that Ryan Poles believes he is?
Well, I'm glad to hear that from the teammates, the coaches, and all that, because you know, this is a young man's life.
Yeah.
You know, this is a young man's life, and yeah, you wanna give an honest assessment about things, but you don't wanna as a teammate, you know, and I, whether I like the teammate or not, if someone were to come to ask me about that guy, I'm not gonna put negative energy out there about this guy. Because this kid, you know, has an opportunity to feed his family and build his career. This is how he will provide. You know, and I've seen cases where people have said negative things about somebody, you know. I've had people say negative things about me, you know, in college, and a lot of it just wasn't true, you know. And I'm like, man, you're somebody who I confided in, I would trust in. And now, you know, it's like you're saying something that's going to hurt my draft status. It's going to hurt my ability to come out and provide. Like, this is a big deal, you know. So it's good to hear that stuff, you know. I mean, you don't need to if you really do your homework, you know, the stuff that people are saying. Yeah, you can hear all that stuff. It's all out there. Everything you need to know. Everything you need to know about somebody is out there. You know what I mean? It's not hard to figure it out. If you're a football guy, it's not hard to figure out what type of personality you're dealing with. You could have a conversation with somebody. You ask them a few questions. Shoot, when I was at the combine, I mean, having a conversation with Ron Rivera, you know, I had a conversation with Mike Singletary. There were some heart-to-heart questions that they wanted to find out, you know, and some of the response, especially from Ron, was like, listen, some of the coaches feel like this about the decision that you made. He was like, I feel like you're a convicted person. You know what I mean? Which means you're a man of principle and you stand on your principle, you know? So it's all in perception and how you feel, but you can learn about somebody and know enough, you know, by having a conversation with them, spending a little time.
And I think that's why I love, and I think it really shows who the Bears are looking to go after, right? The fact that we laugh about it, but the fact that they're not going to the UNC Pro Day probably tells you what they feel, because Ryan Poles wants to meet with the guys that he seems like he's going to want to bring into the building. Jaden Daniels is another name, excuse me, that came up when we got to hear from the assistant director of college scouting, where he said that when you want to sit there and talk about guys who are able to make the anticipatory throw, it's Caleb Williams, it's Jaden Daniels, and then J.J. McCarthy is somebody who sneaks in there as well. The fact that they're going to Jaden Daniels Pro Day probably means we want to meet with this guy, because you're not getting a ton. I love the think pieces that were written from Caleb Williams Pro Day, right? Like, this man's running around in basketball shorts and a t-shirt. And yes, he's throwing deep balls, but I saw him do that with a defense trying to tackle him. I saw him do that with real pressure going up against him. I don't need to see you do it in basketball shorts and a t-shirt. The part that they get most from that is the conversation that you get to have with him, the dinner. We heard that the Bears met with him for dinner the night before. Like, I think that those are the more important things to see, and it really tells you kind of who they're leaning towards when you find out that Ryan Poles is pulling up personally to sit down and talk with some of these guys.
Yeah, I'm, you know, that's their job. You know, that's their job, is to evaluate. You have the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah,
you have to look through every nook and cranny. You have to have as many answers as possible when it comes draft time. If I'm going to take this guy, this number one pick in the NFL draft 2024, I need to be right about my decision.
Yeah. And the fact that, listen, that they're doing it. Like, I keep going back to the previous, but like, you know how many people probably wish they went and had dinner with Pat Mahomes? paid attention to anything that.
Well, that year, shoot, at least 11 teams would have passed on it. You know, at least 11 teams would have passed on it. So,
yeah, man, like it's just seeing a organization, seeing what the Bears organization has become as far as doing their due diligence from how far we had fallen. I mean, I love that to see us going through these processes like this.
Yeah, look, you know, if you want to go back that far too, you know, you got to look at Deshaun Watson. I know that there's been some off the field issue stuff, but you know, he's been back on the field since all of that. And when you look at him on the field, you know, he's a guy that can lead your team to a Super Bowl, you know? And so that was a guy that the Bears didn't even go look at his workout. They didn't even go to his workout.
Didn't pick up the phone.
They didn't pick up the phone, you know? So there's been years where, you know, if you get a pick this high, you have an opportunity. Why aren't you doing the work that you're supposed to be doing? You know, now I completely, I don't disagree with their stance on Drake May. They are sending somebody there.
Yeah,
they are sending somebody there. They're just definitely sending somebody there, but he's not in that. He's not at the top of Ryan's list. The guys that are at the top of his list is where he's going to put his eyes on.
But I think even right, like where Ryan Poles comes from, when you think about coming from Kansas City, they didn't send the best guys out there to look at Pat Mahomes. What was Nagy at that point? He was a control coach, quality control, something like that. One of the control coaches. And came back and he was like, oh my God, you need to take this guy. Like, maybe it does end up working out that way, but you can't do that unless you just send somebody to look at the guy.
Right. If you don't send anybody, you don't pick up the phone, you know what I mean? And then you end up looking around and you're like, whoa, you know, he's another guy that's at Houston, Texas. He's balling right now, you know? It's a process, man, and that's why they get paid the big bucks, Pat.
It's our history, man. It's our history, and it seems like the evaluation took a nosedive after they put the 06 Super Bowl team together. I was just like, we just fine guys. Yeah, I mean, we just look at them, we just figure it out. I mean, listen, there was some names that was picked after that. I mean, listen, no disrespect to anybody, but. There was an offensive lineman with a bad back in there, and Gabe Kareemi. Not the same guy. Gabe Kareemi was the bane of my existence. When I saw him on the field, and I was like, I think I got bigger legs than he do. Poor Jay. Poor Jay.
I like Kareemi. You know, it just didn't work out, my friend.
I feel you. I feel you. Let's keep this thing moving along, Lance.
On the better days.
On the better days. On the better days. And me and you both having some good days here. We got a couple of teams here in the Sweet 16 trying to get to this Elite Eight. Have you been watching much March Madness? And how much is too much March Madness?
Not enough. Listen, it's... It's two and a half, two, three fantastic weeks of intense, nonstop basketball. Before we get into our teams, did you see Stanford, Iowa State last night?
Listen, I was praying to the high heavens that Stanford pulled that out, because I like how we match up a lot better against Stanford than Iowa State.
They had the young girl, Audie Crooks, and then you had Cameron Brink. They both fouled out at the end at triple overtime. It was exciting. And I know for anybody that was on the in Central and East Coast time, it was probably midnight or 1 o'clock, but
it was a little late.
Yeah. But it was a heck of a game.
Man, when I tell you, I'm not going to lie to you, I've probably been more locked in outside of Illinois and like the teams that Illinois is going to have to match up with. I've probably been more locked in on the women's than I have the men's this year, just because of the names that are in it. You look at, I mean, Caitlin Clark, watching what she's doing is just.
Yeah.
She said, I'm not slowing down. It is what it is. But even Angel Reese, right? Like Angel Reese is not having the tournament that I thought she was going to have.
No, and shoot, when Cameron Brink got put out, they're talking to this young girl, Kiki, or I don't know her last name. I ain't gonna mess it up. But she came, she put up 40 points, and they're like, she's the girl the torch is getting passed to her next year.
From USC.
From Stanford. That's Juju. This girl from Stanford.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah. She brought him back.
Yeah. So it is exciting, although the men's has been exciting too. Men's has been exciting, and it's about to really pick up in 2016.
I would hate that I'm finna try to pronounce his name. I feel like I got it. Is it Kiki Irifin?
Nope, but that's not the way they pronounced it last night.
But no, I mean, like, we have seen, this has been one of the best March Madnesses that I've watched in a minute.
Yeah.
Because there's so much intrigue on both sides. Normally it's like, you know, maybe you got some nice teams with the men's team, right? Like, or you know, you got, like, for so long, we were seeing the same team on the women's side win.
Yeah.
Now you're getting so much parity from it. I think this may be the best March Madness that we've had a chance to watch. And I mean, like, you got, right, as we're recording this right now, Ole Miss and Notre Dame are underway. And okay. I got it's right here. It's right here. Okay. Eye is on it. Okay. You know what I mean? So keeping an eye on it at all times. But we got Illinois, we got Arizona in it. Who right now do you have rounding out your Final Four? I know that you're gonna be Arizona's going all the way. There may be some phantom calls in there, but who are the other three that you see making it right now? You don't have nothing Arizona.
No, I was looking for my bracket. I was looking for my bracket because I don't want to, you know, like, I want to be precise about what I picked, you know, and you know, I have Arizona in the Final Four.
Oh yeah,
right. That's one. Houston. I have Houston in there. That's for sure.
Houston got to go through Duke. That's gonna be a fight.
It is. Houston
versus Duke is gonna be a fight.
It is, because you know, the equalizers, man, is those big centers. Duke has a huge center, and Purdue's got a huge center. Now, this is one thing I must say. Now, okay, I like Arizona's chances against both of them. All right, they already beat Duke, so you know they can do it. All right, and we lost a tight one to Purdue, but I like our chances against them. Okay, I like our chances. So it's going to get interesting. What about, who's in your top four? Your Final Four?
I think I got my Final Four right now, and I don't even know if my bracket was destroyed the second I did it. I only do one bracket every year, and I pretty much am just like, I'm not doing the, like, 17 brackets where you got different outcomes in each one.
Okay, so what I do, this is what I do, and I filled it out with my youngest son.
Yeah,
and I say, listen, why don't you start, instead of starting from the beginning, start from the beginning, from the end. Who do you think will make it to the Final Four? All right. And then once you picked who you're going to make from the Final Four, then you can get a little riskier with the picks beforehand, you know, because then it's like, all right, if they lose, they still won't get to this team, you know? So it's, so who's your Final Four?
Hey, listen, I had Auburn getting past the first round. I thought they could get through Yale. Yeah, I mean, I thought they could get through Yale.
Yeah, but whoever they won that next round, they were going to beat the next team.
They wasn't going to beat them anyway.
They're not going to beat the next team.
Yale.
Yeah.
My Final Four right now, I've got Illinois in the Final Four.
Of course you do.
I'm gonna give it to you. I got Arizona in there. I think we may be matching up again, dog. Yeah. That's that 05 matchup. And then, like,
sure we don't have the same officiating crew.
Listen, I mean, it was fine for me. I was fine with it.
That's okay, but just, you know what? Final Four. Guess where the Final Four is this year? Phoenix.
It is in Phoenix.
It's in Phoenix.
My guy was like, hey, we should go to the Final Four. I was like, boy, them ticket prices for that Final Four, I'm not going to that. I was like, we could find a bar nearby. Hey, listen, right. The money you're gonna have to get into the building for that. But I do have, I think y'all can get through, because the bracket that y'all are in right now, you gotta beat Clemson.
Yeah.
And then you got Alabama and North Carolina on the other side. I'm pretty sure that Arizona has, I like the talent that Arizona has to get through all of them. North Carolina, to me, we were talking about this before. A lot of interesting seeding. Not that North Carolina shouldn't have been a number one seed. I think that they're a really good team. I think that they run the floor really well, defend really well. But, like,
I think the Mountain West got robbed a bit.
A little bit.
You know
what I mean? No. Like, it was interesting to see them at the top with some of the teams that were in there. Mm-hmm. And then I do have, I'm going to tell you this one right now. My guy, Marquette, is showing me something. Shaka might be in the Final Four again, man. Marquette is showing me a little bit of something here, dog.
I want to see this. I want to see this Sweet 16, how they play this Sweet 16 first. Yeah. But they were exciting to watch this that last game.
Marquette is like just the fight and the like. Listen, every game is going to be a dog fight, but we're going to find a way to get it done in the end of it. Like seeing that through like three rounds to this point, I'm like, all right, I like what I'm seeing from Marquette. And then I got Purdue rounding it out. I think Zach Edey is ridiculous.
He is. So, you know what I really noticed with the big guys, you know, the opponents, they'll run the pick and roll on them all day long. Like, you know what I mean? And that's where
there's nothing you can do.
Right. Because they just don't move fast enough. You know what I mean? And he bends his legs. And when the defense comes, they run that pick and roll. Now, the one thing about him is he's so doggone big that if you run a pick and roll on him, you would have to get that ball over or you're going to have to get it under. But get it more likely, you have to try to go under because he's too doggone big to go over.
Listen, 7'4". I mean, the fact that he can kind of do it from anywhere, definitely slower, right? He's not Wimby out there. I'm not sitting there saying that he's that level, but like he can shoot the J. He can get downhill. Yeah. Coming off the screens, there's not much that you can do for him. Like he's the kind of player that you almost have to just say, we got to shoot you out the gym. Yeah. And especially like, I'm not going to lie, the one team I'm worried about, not to say I'm not worried about Arizona, but I mean, like if we get to y'all, I think
it's going
to
be right. It's
going to be a competitive game, right? It'll go one way or the other with that one. I don't know how, because Terry Shannon Jr. drives to the bucket so much. I'm like, I don't know how we would beat Purdue. Like now, if we get to Purdue, we would be in the national championship here. But like, I'm just sitting here like, yo, I don't know how anybody, like he takes away the paint.
That guy, like, listen, that guy from that center from Utah State looked defeated. Like every time, that boy's bad pouty face, man. That boy was like, oh, he scored on me again. Oh, God.
Because it was like at a certain point, and I mean, did you ever have that game as an athlete where you looked across and you was just like, there's nothing we can do and we have a long way to go?
Yeah. Yeah. It was. You ever played against the Patriots?
Patriots. I forgot about the 50 burger. Yeah.
We're about to get to check our camera system because they know everything we're doing, doggone.
Well, I mean, listen, that could have also been the case there. I mean, it could have been a little bit of that chicanery going on as well. But, like, dog, it was like 8 minutes in the first half, and the center for Utah just looked like.
Yeah.
What do I do with this?
Oh my goodness. So they would zoom in on him like right after TV timeouts, boy. He would look everywhere except at that Edey, boy.
Now the one thing that I will say about Illinois that like I do think gives them a little bit of opportunity is you can kind of do a little bit of blitz with them where you bring somebody off of the edge and try to get Edey back to the basket, not paying attention. You bring Coleman Hawkins over for help, try to swipe at the ball. I think with Edey, though, it does come down to a game of refs. Are the refs going to be all on his side? Are the refs going? Because, I mean, listen, it's a foul one way or the other on every play.
Right. They've been letting guys play a little bit. I really like that. I hope they continue with that. Basketball needs that. The sport of basketball needs that. You know, let's do away from that with the soft stuff. You know what I mean? We've had enough soft stuff. The Euro players are here. Now it's time to get back to, American style ball. You know?
Yeah.
Let it be physical. Hey, listen,
they're trying to do it in the NBA. I think they're doing it a little bit more in college now as well, where they kind of like, hey, look, we changing some rules back. Like, y'all scoring too easy. Luka's breaking triple-double records 4 years in. Like, this don't make no sense.
Silly, man. It's silly.
Who's been your surprise at the tournament so far? Even if they eliminated already, the team that you were like, wow, they actually played.
I had New Mexico going farther. I actually had them going into the Sweet 16. You know, they laid an egg in that first one. I had Nevada going further too. You know, they got blown out. You know, and so. Those were teams that those were the Mountain West teams that I thought were gonna show up a little bit better. I think You know what? The pleasant surprise really is Illinois. You know what I mean? I was like, I know they had a good year this year, but yeah, they're a team that, you know, it's an easy team for me to root for. You know, I pull for Illinois, man. I like to see them be successful in the tournament.
This is gonna be our toughest matchup. Iowa State. I think we can handle Connecticut. I think we can handle San Diego. I think that Connecticut was another one of those teams where I was like, a one seed, really? Like, like you said, they had a run in there, but
they had
like,
a run.
A one seed is kind of crazy for UConn, though. But I think that man, when you know what it is, you can tell when a team has players that are just going to be in the NBA.
Right.
Like I watched Terrence Shannon Jr. and I watched people try to foul him, try to stop him from getting to the bucket, try to slow him down, and how he adjusts midair. Now I'm not going to say LeBron like because then it's blasphemy and the world is ending and everything. But he moves to me very Anthony Edwards like, might I say, very Paul George like, might I say, where like people are like, I'm a foul use to make sure you don't get this, and then he's just like, I'm gonna adjust my body real quick and make it an and one. And now I'm at the line for one more. Like, I love how he's playing. If Coleman Hawkins keeps showing up, I think we're in the Final Four, and we might be making a berth towards a national championship. I'm trying to get those. I'm petitioning to get those refs back for Arizona. I don't think there was any chicanery.
Well, man, listen, I might. You know what? The whole setting of the whole deal in Illinois, you know, just it reeked of Illinois is going to win this game somehow.
You know what I mean? And now being in Phoenix, you know, you're not smelling that at all.
I'm smelling championships now.
Sick of this. Sick of this.
But you know what? Both teams are all these teams are fun to watch. Yeah. It's exciting. You know, you go from one game to the other, to the next. March Madness is it's a really fun time, you know, of the year, especially on the off season of football. You know, it brings a whole lot of excitement, and I love it every year.
Are you a YouTube TV guy?
What you mean?
Got YouTube TV at the house? Like,
I have it.
Do you do the four screens? Are you doing the four screens?
Oh no. I'm more, you know what? It's I have a few TVs, you know, and I'll watch on different TVs or go to the bar, you know, the bars, because then you get the bars, you get different fan bases, you know, you'll get a Illinois fan base, you'll get a UConn fan base, you know, a UNC fan base. So you can hear them all rooting for each other.
And that's what's funny about it. Like being at the bar, you just end up rooting for whoever's like the most prevalent fan in there.
Who's got the most energy? Who's got the best energy? Yeah.
Right. Unless you got to play them. Like I was sitting there and I was just like, this is, hey, look, let's go. Who was you watching? I think Colorado was playing next. And I was like, what the heck is Colorado doing here?
Man, I wanted Colorado to pull that out. Hey,
I wanted them to win so bad.
Right. That was good.
I felt like there was a little bit of a lack of urgency on that last couple of minutes. It was like they got broken. Once the shots started falling for Marquette, it was just like,
yeah,
oh, y'all are done. Yeah. Y'all gave up on this. I was a little hurt.
Yeah, and those last minutes or so, I did think even the announcers were like, they're not using these seconds correctly.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I mean, what they got the ball back. They were down, what are they down? Four with 10 seconds left. And they just ran to the right side and just waited for the clock to run down and shot a three. I was
that's what you're down four. It's a two possession.
10 seconds within four. But it's so crazy. I think that's the one part that people don't think about with sports is like, you really can just break a team. They looked broken. Like you could just be like, you're not the better team. And finally, they will believe it. They absolutely looked broken. When Marquette came down and knocked down those 2-3.
I'll tell you who looked broken was James Madison. That's who looked broken.
Listen, what were you expecting from James Madison, dog?
I mean, I like this. I like the underdogs, you know? I like the underdogs, and I like to see them, you know? Like I really wanted Washington State, Colorado. I wanted all the Pac-12 teams in the last year of the Pac, you know, to advance. And, they were undefeated for that first round, which was cool. And then lost some tight ones in the next round.
Yeah, I think what I love to see that's actually happening this year. The Cinderella stories are cool, But you don't want to see the Cinderella stories in the Elite Eight or the Final Four more times than not. Because then they get there and it's like, it's a reason you were Cinderella because there's a pumpkin coming your way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I like how it's playing out where we're getting a lot of the top six.
The top ones. Yep. Yeah. The top seeded players playing each other.
I don't need it to be top one, two, right? I would like some of them to get knocked out on the way so I can have maybe a little bit easier path. But I don't care how I get there. Must be.
There you go.
Hey, I don't care how I get there. Must be sitting there. I remember when y'all played the Packers in the NFC title game, everybody was sitting there. It was like, you got to go through the Packers. It's the only way to win. I was like, I don't care how we get to this goddamn Super Bowl. Just get there. I care less. But it's about the principle. Ain't no principle in Super Bowls. Nobody sits there and reviews your championships and goes, but the principle.
Right. No. Mm-mm. Nope. I'd be sitting here. That ring would not come off my finger if I had that doggone Super Bowl ring.
But Lance, the principle. The principle.
Yeah, okay.
But when I see Illinois, like the run that they've, they might be the darling. They might be the darling of this tournament because I don't know if it was unexpected, but it was unexpected how well Terrence Shannon has played this consistently for a lot of people. And so I love that. Arizona, your boys got to go through Clemson. You got to go through UNC. You feeling nervous at all? Little nerves?
I mean, listen, last year, Arizona was picked to win it. They were knocked out the first game, you know? And so everybody's like, oh, your team broke my bracket. They broke my bracket. I said, you know what? We didn't make it this year. I said, we're going to reload. We'll be back a one or two seed again next year. All right. We're a two seed. Okay. We're back again next year. And that's the beauty of being an Arizona Wildcat. We're going to be back every doggone year. We got Tommy Lloyd. All right. You know what he did with the Zags. Now he's doing it with the U of A. We got a ton of talent. So it's going to be fun to watch. I like our chances, but you never know. You never, never know. But as long as they fight, we'll be all right.
I think that's the part that's actually hilarious about March Madness is you really just never know. Somebody get hot.
Yeah.
Somebody like that. If you get one NBA player, like I'll tell you who for Illinois, Damask, watching him play, I was like, when he went into the Big Ten tournament, and he's been okay all season, but he played in the Big Ten tournament, I was like, yo, he might make the NBA. Like, he might actually end up being a role player in the league. Like, I knew he had two, but like, so like, when you find players like that, where you're just like, yo, that mug might actually be better than we all think. And so I love March Madness time. I think that there's something about just turning your TVs on and knowing there's going to be a game on. That's what it is for me.
Now, the other thing right now, you know, is we've got to get this, the sports channels deal cleaned up. Like the streaming and it's playing on this or that or here and like and I know that right now they're all in the negotiation. They started the negotiation to try to say, okay, I think they're gonna have a sports channel that carries all of the sports, because having to go from here to there and then from they're not playing this and then later on I got to have this subscription is a pain in the butt.
See, that the subscription, I don't know, has there been a game that's been on a specific subscription to this point?
Well, if you got Sling, you know, you get a lot of the stuff.
Oh.
But a lot of the stuff was on Paramount Plus, and then you got, you know, and then it's a pain in the butt.
Sometimes. Yeah, see, I'm not well, YouTube TV for the most part, I think I've gotten all the games I've wanted to see or that have been on. I know during the NFL season, I was just like, what are we doing, dude? Like, I'm on Apple TV for like Monday, like
Prime on Thursday.
I'm all over the place now. Like, my head is legitimately hurting trying to figure out where the heck I need to be watching half of this stuff at. And I don't know, man. This is something that's going to be interesting to see if they actually get it cleaned up. Cause like, how do you? Cause you know,
well, they're in negotiation. Money. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, as long as if you have a space where you can view all the stations without having to bounce around, you know what I mean? Because one of the problems too is that, you know, if you're bouncing around from one app to another, you know, and one of the apps you don't use a lot. Now I gotta re-put the password in, and you know, oh shoot. You know, now I gotta say forgot password, go to my email. My email's gotta send it back to me, give me a new password. Nope, can't use that one because you used that one before. Dang it.
Hey, that's the worst. When it's like, can't use a password you already use.
Dang it, all right? Shoot.
You know that was the password. Then all of a sudden you go back in, put the same password in, it works.
Or they give you this crazy suggestion with the dash, you know, upper north, dash, dash.
Like, that's so the computers can track everything that you're doing.
Of course.
We definitely got to get that worked out. I'm not going to lie to you. It's a different world for sports, but the fact that I can't just turn my TV on and say, this is on, I want to watch this, this is on. And for the most part, I can with YouTube TV, with March Madness, I should say. But during the NFL season, like, I'm still not conditioned that way. I'd forget. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, I go to turn on Thursday Night Football, and it is the mad dash because, like, not a game is on. You're like, oh, snap, I got to log in here, do this, make this happen. Like, it's let's figure it out. Let's all get it together, especially for yes. – For people who don't have all their passwords saved on all their
and are tired of creating new passwords. They're running out of brain space for it.
Let's finish it out here. First off, I got to ask you this. We got an actual football season coming up here. I wanted to get your thoughts on this. You doing any UFL action? You tuning in on any UFL action?
That's a negative, Ghost Rider.
Oh, dang.
That's a negative.
You don't like the summer football? You're not watching any of it?
Man, listen, I went to a spring training game last week. You know, the D-backs against the Oakland A's. Uh-huh. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I'm going to enjoy baseball season. You know, there's a lot of excitement here in the state of Arizona with the D-backs, you know, and of course, I'm going to root on my my Sox. Of course, I'm going to root on my Cubs. And I know. But you know what? It's here.
I can't do the – I don't know if you saw Hoodie and them. Like, they were like, we're just going to root for the Padres. I was like, I want to so bad. But there's something inside me that's like, you're going to root for the White Sox. Shut up. And I'm like, I know. But yeah. I don't want to. They don't want me.
I feel for the Sox fans because you know your window just passed.
I don't even know if it was a window. That was like a peephole. Like, was that a window?
It was a window because I remember being on the show with Lawrence Holmes, and Lawrence was like, "Hey, we're 2 years away. We're 2 years away." You know, and when that 2 year happened, the team was there. And I'm like, they're not living up to the expectation.
Yeah, but nope. Tony La Russa was there too.
Took the Oakland A's. He took the St. Louis Cardinals.
Tony, that's a younger Tony. That's a different Tony. We had the Tony that was like, Tony, put him in the third. Tony, what are you talking about? You're doing a post game interview, Tony. You're doing a post game interview. He's a Hall of Fame manager. I love him. Jerry tried to fix it wrong. I didn't love that.
Yeah.
Your wrongs happened. You shouldn't have fired him in the first place. We could have had a lot more championships. Your wrongs happened. Live with him. Jerry, Tony Lombardi. Sorry, I'm going down a dark path here. The reason I brought up the UFL is because the NFL may be adopting a kickoff rule that the UFL is using currently where basically they want to create more offense. They're trying to penalize a little bit more on if you kick it into the end zone, and so they want to create more runbacks, I should say. So they want to penalize it more if you kick it into the end zone. It may start at the 30 now if they do push this rule through, which at this point, just why are we kicking off? But with that, the thought process of player safety came in. How are you going to keep players safe if you do this? The UFL does this like where the two opposing offense and defense kickoff teams are 5 yards apart. You kick it to the guy. Nobody can move until the returner touches the football. Is it time to just get rid of the kickoff rule? Because we're getting very gimmicky with this now.
I don't know. I don't know. That stuff, it frustrates me. Apparently they're unanimous on the hip drop tackle ruling. It's a lot
about that during the season too. You said it's kind of just nobody intends to do it. It's just a freak thing that kind of happens when you're tackling somebody.
I mean, to play defense, man, is hard enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard enough in this violent sport that we play to say, all right, now you can't there's so many different ways that you cannot tackle, you know, while doing this at 100 miles an hour. So I don't know, man. But I'll tell you what we do, you know, in the same city, the NFL wants to make it more of an offensive game. You know what we defensive guys do? You know, we figure it out. That's what we do. We figure it out, because you'll go through a couple years while we're adjusting to the rule, and you'll hear the announcer say, "Oh, you won't hear any more low scoring games anymore. Those days are over." Once defenses figure it out, then you have a bunch of weeks where it's low scoring games again because we figured it out.
Yeah.
You know, so you know that to me is the power of the defense and the defensive player. You know, you really want to respect the game, respect defense.
I mean, listen, you talk about what, maybe 1 year that the Pat Mahomes run that he's been on, where there was like a ridiculously scoring Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Outside of that, his defenses have had to step up. I mean, last year in the Super Bowl, Chris Jones not being on the team changes everything, but instead he's on the team and you get the Super Bowl win because you forced them to kick a field goal. And Pat Mahomes, of course, goes down and scores. But like, it is something masterful that you see, where no matter what changes they make, the best athletes in the world on the defensive side just go, "That's stupid." I remember when they started flagging for hitting QBs or sacking QBs, basically, is you had to like lay them down, tuck them in at night, read them a little bedtime story, give them a little hot cocoa, and then it counts as a sack. I remember like the players in the league kind of being like, "What do y'all want me to do? Like, I'm not supposed to hit them. Like, I've been trained my whole life to hit people."
It's what, you know, we want to protect the quarterback, protect the game, protect offense and all that stuff. But, you know, again, credit to all the defensive players out there that, you know, we don't have time to complain. We don't have time to cry about this. You know, this is the game. This is the way you want this game to be played. We're going to figure it out. We're not only going to figure out, but we're also going to shut you down again. We're going to continue to be consistent defensively.
How do we get Brady on the rules committee? Because Brady was like, "Listen, I grew up in a time where you could not throw the football over the middle because Ray Lewis was back there, because Lance Briggs was back there.
You couldn't."
How do we get Brady on? He was like, "Y'all making this game way too soft."
It is. You know, it is. But, you know, there's still ways to hit. You still see – I'm starting to see more big hits, you know, guys are – they're moving the target. They're moving their target area and they're hitting correctly, you know. So it's – I just credit to all, you know, not even just defensive players, offensive guys, because it's not an easy thing to go out there to do this stuff, you know, and they do it, they love it, you know, and I know how much love that goes into this thing, you know, and I love that you get paid for it, you know, and you can take care of your families, provide and all that good stuff, and you're getting paid even more and more, you know, and for the guys that played before me, whose sons came through, and the guys that played with me, whose sons I see are coming through now.
Yeah.
You know, I just love seeing that. You see Jerry Rice's son, you know, I mean, all these guys get opportunities. They're getting opportunities that they're earning, you know, and so it's just it's a joy to watch.
It's got to be tough to follow in them footsteps, though.
You're not going to catch them.
No, but I think I'll say this about Brendan, and then we got to get him out of here. I think he's done a masterful job of just kind of like, he's not a bad player. He's actually one of the better receivers you can take in his draft, if we're being 100% honest. But you almost never hear like, "Keep an eye on him because he's Jerry Rice's kid, and so like, that's what you should expect from." Like, most players' kids usually get that, where it's like, right, Kyle Long, Howie Long's kid, you know what kind of mindset he brings. Like, we haven't heard that a ton with Brendan Rice. Maybe it's because his dad is like maybe nobody has the expectation with him. Because it's just like, no one's catching Jerry.
No one's catching Jerry. They're not. I think there's a level of, "Listen, my dad texts me and ends his conversations with a goat emoji." You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to come out here. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try to be consistent, you know, and maybe stack up some all pros and Pro Bowls and maybe get in the Hall of Fame too. But yeah, we won't be getting a GOAT back.
He goes, he texts his dad. He's just like, "Dad, how did you do this?" And he just responds back.
Yeah, man. But it's cool that, you know, I mean, shoot, Marvin Harrison Jr.'s son.
He might
outbeat him.
Hey,
now.
Listen. Right. Listen.
Right.
Jack was mad at me. I was like, I think he's going to be, I think he might be 10 times the player his dad is if he put in the right situation.
Ooh, 10 times. His dad was
a monster.
Great.
No. Okay. I think we'll be talking about him as one of those guys, like we talk about Tyreek, like we talk about Devontae, like we talk about, like,
it should be
number one wide receiver in the NFL guy.
We should be, but a lot of people talked about Odell Beckham Jr. after the catch. You know, there was no consistency there. He wasn't consistent. There's a lot of things that have to happen for you to be consistent, and health is number one. Health, and you've got to stay out of trouble.
Where's he slated right now? I think he's slated to Arizona.
He's up there.
If Arizona holds on to that pick.
Right.
Oh, but if they trade out, he gets to go out there with because they got rid of all their wide receivers with old Justin Herbert. That's five.
Yeah.
You get to pair up with Justin. That's not a bad situation to be in coming into the league.
You go to LA. Be in LA. Oh boy, that's a dangerous place to be in. That's Hollywood now.
Hey, don't. Now see, you got to keep your nose clean too. That's where it get dangerous out there.
Literally, yeah. Literally, you got to keep your stay away from that booger. That booger sugar.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I wasn't going there. Jesus. All right, let's get up out of here for Michael Irving Show. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. To the show. Subscribe to the page. Leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Michael, it's jokes. I love you, man. You're very passionate about your team, even though they're not
winning.
Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. For Lance Briggs, I'm Pat the Designer. Y'all stay safe out there in Chicago. Bear down. Peace.